Jeff Blair.
This whole season has been like one long mea culpa for me. Seriously. Every time I've seen Jose Bautista, I ask myself, Blair, did you really want to trade this guy two off seasons ago? I mean, it wasn't exactly like I wanted him traded. I just felt that he was the one player that could bring multiple assets in return, preferably younger assets, and I thought that he was getting close to his best before date. I knew the Blue Jays were listening to offers. I knew there were people inside the organization who were whispering that his act was getting old. All the bickering with umpires and the sense that he was starting to break down physically. It's all the signs you get of a tired relationship. It's the same things, the same signs we saw with Sean Green and Carlos Delgado. But now it's tough to imagine this team without Bautista, especially at the undermarket contract that pays him $15 million next season and carries a club option. Seriously, in this particular market, that's close to theft. Bautista and perennial Triple Crown and MVP candidate Miguel Cabrera are the only players with three seasons of 35-plus homers and 100-plus runs batted in since 2010. Again, Miguel Cabrera and Jose Bautista in the same sentence. His 35th home run in last night's 14-4 win over the Mariners was his 203rd as a Jay. That moved him into a third-place tie with Joe Carter in the franchise list. And you know what? While the rest of his teammates have spent most of this month nodding off and packing their bags, Bautista's reached safely in 50 of 110 plate appearances. And as we saw last night, there's been no let-up in his defense. Now, some might view those as empty numbers, given the Blue Jays' position in the standings. But I think that misinterprets the value of individual performance. I mean, Jose Bautista can't make Edwin Encarnacion or Melky Cabrera healthier or give Anthony Gosar or Colby Rasmus a brain when they're standing at the plate. All he can do is perform when he's at bat or in the field, and he's done that. He's been properly outspoken, such as at the trade deadline, but also showed a political deafness by soon after saying that he wasn't going to demand a trade. Jose Bautista can be aloof at times and, you know, bless him, doesn't suffer fools or foolish questions, but he has played like somebody who feels invested in this team. Look, I wouldn't say I've had a come-to-Jesus moment. More like a come-to-Jose moment. He's a two-time Hank Aaron Award winner and is second in Blue Jays' all-time OPS at 926. He's third in wins above replacement. He's been the leading all-star vote-getter twice, which really doesn't mean a damn thing other than the fact that a whole lot of people outside this city seem to think he's a pretty good player. Can you tell me another Toronto athlete who engenders that much respect in his sport? I thought so. So here's today's question for your consideration. Why do so many of you seem to think Bautista is not irreplaceable? Honestly, do we celebrate Jose Bautista enough in this city?
The Jeff Blair Show is on the air on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Join the conversation with Jeff on Twitter using the hashtag Blair Show or call 416-870-0590. Now, here's Jeff Blair.
It's never a bad day we can throw some Peter Frampton out there. Right, Mike Wilner? Wilner!
I'm a little post-Frampton comes alive, but not by much.
Just a little post-Frampton
My vintage is a little bit post-Frampton comes alive.
Yeah, it would be. It's a great album, though.
So I'm
best listened to in vinyl, by the way.
Yes.
Best listened to in vinyl. How you doing, Wilner?
Doing all right, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I must admit, I did not hear the Blue Jays talk last night.
Oh, no.
Because I went to bed early. Fans
well,
happy?
There was no one who called in yesterday suggesting that they trade Melky Cabrera.
Okay. That's good. So that's progress. That's progress.
We did have a caller, though, who suggested that he had his 2015 lineup all ready for me, and I did let him continue after he got past the leadoff man, which was a mistake. But he had Colby Rasmus in the leadoff spot and Juan Francisco playing third every day next year.
Was this guy a Yankees fan?
I don't know.
Anyhow.
Yeah.
Anyhow. Hey, Mike, do we appreciate Batista enough in this city?
I do. I don't know that, you know, I think that it's a Toronto. Well, let me rephrase that. I wonder if it's a Toronto thing to say, this guy's really, really good. Among the best there is in the game, we should trade him.
Well, it happens in other sports, too. Hey, Matt Sundin.
Yep. Yeah, so that's why I wonder if it's a Toronto thing. And the whole, you know, blow it up and rebuild next year, I don't know why you would do that. You have two elite-level sluggers in the middle of your order. You have Adam Lind, who's been baseball's best hitter against right-handed pitching this year, and a great bat in Jose Reyes. I don't know why you would blow that up because the pitching is young. So I do think, Batista, I guess, is underappreciated only because the Blue Jays as a whole are not top of mind for everybody all the time because they, you know, this is the first year that they've played any meaningful games in September in this century. And mm-hmm. I think that kind of leads to all of that. But, you know, you talked about how he's led All-Star voting twice. I mean, people know who he is, mm-hmm. and I think understand just how good this guy is.
Well, and that's the thing. Look, I mean, we know what All-Star voting is worth. We know all the issues we have with a lot of the starters in the All-Star game. But when a guy from this market can get all those votes, to be a two-time leading vote getter, you're not just getting votes from Jays fans or folks at the Rogers Center. You're getting that from a lot of places. And yeah, you know what? He's probably getting a lot from the Dominican Republic because people in the Dominican Republic do tend to support their own, and they vote heavily that way. But all that aside, it seems to me it has to mean that people in other cities value this guy. And just the baseball fan values this guy.
I hope so. I wonder because, you know, I don't know that he has such a high profile across the game. But when you look at, you know, especially since around the All-Star break, like he's missed time with injuries 2 years before this year, mm-hmm. but not till after the break. So when you open the newspaper, but that's 15 years ago. When right. you look up the stats and who's leading and who's doing what, around All-Star time, you see Jose Bautista around the top of the league in home runs and an on-base percentage and an OPS, and he's always there. And the guy is an elite hitter. And if it was just the Dominican bump, and you look at it, we know that All-Star balloting is as pure a popularity contest as there is. Mm-hmm. If it was just about being Dominican and being popular, you would think that David Ortiz would lead the world yep. in All-Star balloting every year, and he doesn't. Jose True. Does.
Mike Wilner joins us on the Jeff Blair Show, 416-870-0590, *591-888-666-0590. Those be the numbers to call in. On social media, use the hashtag Blair Show. My Twitter handle is at SN Jeff Blair. Mike Wilner's Twitter handle, of course, is at Wilnerness590. So I guess we don't have the debate anymore, do we, about whether or not the Jays should pick up Jay Happ's option. That's kind of gone by the wayside, I think, yes?
Which is amazing, because 2 years ago we were all saying, well, why the heck did you sign this contract? Why, you know, why give this guy 2 years? There was no reason to do it. Plus an option, are you nuts? And there you go. You know, the 10 wins aside, he's pitched awfully well this year. He was a kind of a feast or famine in the first half, but he settled in the second half. And this is a very, very good bottom of the rotation starting pitcher who you get for $6.7 million next year. I think that, it's an absolute no-brainer to pick up that option.
And he's a guy that, I mean, Joe Siddle talks about this a lot, and Buck and Pat have talked about it as well, and I know you guys have talked about it. It seems as if at some point he picked up 2 to 3 miles an hour in his fastball this year. It seems like it, you know. Just going off what the scoreboard, the radar gun says, and I know you can't trust those, but people around baseball, people with the Jays, his opponents, say the same thing. He seems to be throwing harder. I don't know if that's a mechanical adjustment, or somehow he found 2 or 3 miles an hour extra.
Well, remember, they talked all spring training about arm angle, and we're changing this, and we think that's going to help. But you know what? When J-Hap was throwing 91, he was still striking people out with high fastballs, which is really, really hard to do. I mean, we saw how Brett Cecil just stopped being able to do that when he went down to 89, 90, 91. But half, and I haven't been able to figure it out yet, there's some sort of deception in his delivery that prevents people from picking the ball up. And now that we're seeing the occasional 95, it makes it that much harder.
Mike Wilner joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Pretty good pitching matchup tonight.
Yeah, Cy Young Award winners, why not?
What did you
remember? You remember 2011, 2010, it might have been, the year that Jose Bautista hit 54 home runs. I guess it was 2010. Felix Hernandez pitched at Rogers Center the final week of the season.
Right.
And the Blue Jays beat him 1-0. On Jose Bautista's 50th home run. Do you remember who started that game for the Jays? A 1-0 win over Felix?
1-0 win over Felix.
I think I could give you 20 guesses.
No. Brian Talbot. Brian Talbot.
Sean Hill.
Oh. Travis actually guessed Brian Talbot.
Oh, well. I love Brian Talbot.
Sean Hill. Sean Hill. I remember Sean Hill vaguely.
There could be great pitching matchups for that. Well, he's from Mississauga. We love Sean Hill.
Right.
But this promises, on paper at least, to be a better matchup. But it should be a lot of fun. You know, RA's pitched really, really well since the end of April, and Felix Hernandez is Felix Hernandez. I would suggest taking the under in this game.
Yeah, I was going to say that. That's probably a safe bet. The Mariners look to me like a team that hadn't been in turf for a while last night. That doesn't explain everything, obviously, that went on out there. James Paxton was not good. He didn't have good command. But they really looked like a team that was defensively just on their back heels almost from the start. And maybe, Mike, maybe that comes from Paxton's start, a couple of walks, kind of sloppy all over the place. You almost lull yourself into a sense of not security, but you just lull yourself into being asleep half the time. And then all of a sudden, an artificial turf, when stuff starts to unravel, it can unravel very, very fast.
Yeah, we saw it with the Cubs. We saw it with the Giants last year. Kyle Seager, who's a really good defensive third baseman, got beat twice on balls to his left. Now, they were both rockets.
Right.
One of them by Edwin. I can't remember who hit the other one, but it really, really hard. But ground balls that third basemen usually make a play on, and they got on him quickly, and maybe it was the six walks that put you to sleep a little bit. And, you know, I don't remember when they played Tampa in Tampa. I think it was relatively recently, but that's the only other turf park. And it is a tough adjustment to make. And you take your ground balls and you try to get used to it, but then when you get a bazooka shot at you, you're going to have a problem. And that definitely helped the Blue Jays in the early going last night. Even a couple of choppers up the middle, the stuff that Dalton Pompey beat out. You know, I don't, maybe on grass you don't even have a play on it, but these are things that these guys just aren't used to doing. And it's a nice little home field advantage for the Blue Jays that shows up every once in a while.
Wilner, it was good of you to do this, as always.
Always a pleasure.
We will see you tonight at the ballpark.
I could not be looking more forward to it.
Okay.
Is Travis coming too?
Travis will be there. The Travis, right, are you working tonight? Travis says he'll be late, but he'll be there.
Way more fun when Travis is there.
I don't know about that. It's kind of a pain in the ass. I mean, he never talks to me. He goes and sits with, you know, over in the area with Barry Davis and all them. He goes and sits with the TV stars.
Well, look, Travis is taking a pretty huge bullet for us, Jeff, going to sit with Barry Davis.
Yeah.
We should be thanking him.
Come to think of it, that's true. Mr. Wilner, as always, you've succeeded in putting everything in proper perspective. Thank you.
I do try.
I know you do. God bless you, my friend. That is Mike Wilner, host of the Blue Jays Talk, third man in the booth. He writes for Sportsnet.ca. He's all over the place. His Twitter handle is at Wilnerness590. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590 on Twitter. Oh, my goodness. Lots of people on Twitter this morning. Captain Obvious makes a point. They had 2 years and blew them both. That's why you blow it up. Clearly, it isn't a good team. And I think he's talking about my suggestion, that Jose Bautista should be considered irreplaceable. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, because I admit, you've heard the show and I used to get grief for it. I, at one point, sort of wondered whether or not it was time to move on from Jose Bautista, whether or not the Jays and Jose Bautista had grown apart, which does happen. It's not necessarily anything out of the ordinary. It happens in other cities. I think people would tell you that it happened with Albert Pujols to a certain degree in St. Louis, although, he got great gobs of money to go to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, but St. Louis would have made him a representative offer. And there was just a sense that, it was time to move on. And I had that sense about Jose Bautista a couple of years ago, but not now. Based on what I'm seeing right now, I can't imagine this team without him. And I don't recall even having that feeling about Carlos Delgado. Now, I will admit that I was here sort of towards the end of Delgado's career. But I didn't have the same feeling about Carlos Delgado I do as Jose Bautista, probably because Bautista's such a good defensive player, too. Peter in Toronto. You're in Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What's up, Peter?
Hi there, Jeff.
Hello, Peter.
Hello, Jeff. Hey, I think there's a difference here between talent and leadership, and that's why I personally find troubling with Bautista. You're right. You're not going to get anything in return that fits all the things he provides. But if it's not him blowing up at the umpire at the worst time and causing a ripple effect for the rest of the game, or giving a death stare to some kid who he bumped into for a foul ball, or throwing his bat around in the dugout like a four-year-old, it's not the example that you want.
He did he has been ejected once this year, correct?
I don't know.
Yeah, he's been ejected once this year for arguing balls and strikes.
I think he has an impact. I would say that if you take the most popular vote by umpires, he would be well down the list.
Yeah, but I don't care. I'll tell you what, if you did that, there would be a lot of players that would be well down the list, including David Ortiz. And as far as staring at the kid goes, I would have stared at him too. He wasn't 8 years old. He was much older than 8 years old. And you know what? If you're sitting down there, have a brain. You don't reach onto the field to play to go for a ball. You just don't. I mean, you just don't. You know.
That's great, Jeff. Being the guy is not your. He shouldn't be your clubhouse leader.
Well, how do you know he is?
I assume because there's a vacuum of leadership. It doesn't show on that team.
Yeah, but okay. But how do you assume? How do you know he's the leader?
Okay, who is the leader on that?
I don't know if they have a leader.
Well, my suggestion is it's him. And he walks around there like he owns the club.
Do you see him in the clubhouse?
No, I see him in the dugout.
So how do you know that he walks around like he owns the club if you've never seen him in the clubhouse? In point of fact, he quite often gets criticized for not being in the clubhouse enough.
I said the club, so say team instead.
No, but I mean, what? Give me an example of how you think he owns. He walks around like he owns the team.
When he comes back to the dugout after striking out, and he starts having his hissy fit.
How many times has he done that this year?
Regularly.
Really? He's throwing bats around regularly.
Yeah, he acts like a.
Yeah. Bye bye. It's always amazed me people who have never set foot on the field. Or have never gone in the clubhouse or anything, think they know everything there is to know about a guy's leadership ability. Guy must be a hockey fan. Because everybody thinks that there's a certain way to be a leader. I mean, seriously. It's not hockey, it's not football. You know who the leader in a baseball team is? It's the guy starting that day for you. It's a guy throwing the pitch. That's a leader. You want a well-played game, it comes from the pitcher. 162 games. Do you think the guy's going to be giving speeches all the time? This drives me nuts. There are people who spend every day in that clubhouse, reporters, both print and electronic. They couldn't tell you who the leader is. You don't have any idea. Do you know what happens in a clubhouse? A bunch of guys sit in very comfortable chairs in front of their lockers. Sometimes they have a coffee. Sometimes they play cards, not as much as they used to. And they talk. A lot of them are on iPads or iPhones. There isn't anybody walking through there clapping their hands and going, come on, boys, let's go get them. There just isn't. But people somehow have this image of what a leader is. Is Derek Jeter a leader? I don't know. There are people in New York who think he should have stepped aside a while ago. There are people in New York who think that he was selfish for not moving out of the way for Alex Rodriguez. There are people in New York who look at that Gatorade ad that was just made and ask the pertinent question. Derek Jeter walks into that bar and the guy says, you've never come in here. Jeter says, you never asked. Derek Jeter hasn't walked around that neighborhood ever. Trust me. I've been to that neighborhood. Ain't no way Derek Jeter's walking around that neighborhood with nothing to do. So all I'm saying is we imagine leadership in this city. You know what? In this city, leadership is Doug Gilmore. So we're sort of subconsciously comparing Jose Bautista to Doug Gilmore. And it just doesn't work. Rah-rah guys don't lead in baseball. They really don't. Guys who try to do that, like Gary Carter, have their teammates take shots at them. Like, newsflash for you. Gary Carter was not hugely popular with his teammates. You think he's a great leader? He wasn't usually popular with his teammates. They called him lights. Jay in North York, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
I couldn't agree with you more about what you just said. Jeff, Jose Bautista is probably one of the top three, four, five players. He is irreplaceable in his position defensively and offensively, and quite frankly, if the Blue Jays were trying to replace him with something similar, they couldn't afford it. But let's talk a little bit more about this team.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball, for those who know the game, know that it is very much unpredictable. The Red Sox won the World Series last year. This year, they're in last place. Nobody thought that the Yankees would be able to sustain a winning record, losing four out of their five pitchers. But they did, losing a lot. This team is good enough. It's been proven, okay, because they were winning for part of the season. And I would not be surprised if the Blue Jays would win the pennant next year. They do have the talent. The top five guys in the lineup are arguably some of the top five in baseball. The starting pitching for next year, if it stays healthy, is probably not the best in the East, but definitely good enough with the offensive support. And baseball is a crazy game. Look what happened at the trade deadline with Oakland making those blockbuster trades. I don't know what their record is since, but I think it's pretty bad. And look what happened to Detroit after they got Price. They were losing for quite a little bit. Mm-hmm. You can't predict. It was a three-year plan. We're going into year three. We were better this year than last year. It was very disappointing. And next year, it's pretty much the same team. And that's what I think. Leave it alone. It's fine. Yeah, maybe you need to add another arm in the bullpen. You probably need a second baseman without a doubt. But every team has some issues. No team is perfect. And right now, this to me is a pretty good ball club. And I would be very satisfied if they went with the same team for next year, because I don't really see how they could make any sort of impactful change or trade. That would make this team that much better. And just to finally state that the thing that frustrates me the most is if they did have an opportunity, Roger seems to be operating this team like a bunch of accountants with a budget and a payroll, and I don't really think that they're willing to make that blockbuster deal and add that $20, $25 million a year player. I don't think. And that's all I have to say. Love to hear your comments on it.
Jay, I appreciate the call. The one thing that I've said about the payroll is there's an awful lot of flexibility next year with Rasmus not coming back, Jansen not coming back. I don't think Melky's coming back. there is flexibility. And Brandon Morrow, the $10 million option, I honest to God, I don't know what you do with that. I really don't. But if you look at it that way, the Jays will shed, I'm just doing quick math, they shed about $30 million off this year's payroll. Now, I know they've got big raises coming to Jose Bautista, to Jose Reyes. They've got one more year of Mark Burley's salary on the books. But the bottom line is there's enough wiggle room there to make an addition, to make a significant addition to that team. A lot of it, I admit, a lot of that gets eaten up if you re-sign Melky Cabrera, but I don't think anybody in this city would complain about that. And I still believe that in the right situation, there would be more money. There would be more money for Alex Anthopoulos. And I know, I'll tell you something. I know there are people in the Blue Jays organization who don't agree with me on that. I know there are a lot of people in the clubhouse that don't agree with me on it. It's just my reading the situation. Apropos of nothing else. Other than talking to people. It's not that $10 million is nothing, but when you're running a business like the Blue Jays, it's almost nothing. Stephen Pickering, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Good morning, Jeff.
Morning, Steve.
I have new respect for Bautista.
Mm-hmm.
As you stated, he's only had one blow-up. I call this major progress. He's going to right field, which makes him more valuable to his team. And more importantly for me, he didn't pack it in, even though basically they've been out of it through September. He's played hard, as hard as anybody on the team. And that's what I want from my leader or superstar. So for me, I don't want Bautista to go anywhere.
Steve, I appreciate the call. Matthew Elmsley on Twitter. And again, my Twitter handle is SNJeffBlair. You can use the hashtag Blair Show. Matthew Elmsley on Twitter. Fans of a bad team will always blame the team's problems on their best players. If you're so great, why aren't we winning? A substantial element of truth to that statement. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Tom in Waterloo, you're in Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What's up, Tom?
Hey, good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
How about 100 walks, 100 runs, 100 RBIs, you know, 400 on base, 500 slugging? I think we take them for granted. I really do.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, I don't know where you're going to get that. I mean, there's not a lot of that out there. There's not a lot of that out there. And what is out there is called Mike Trout, Miguel Cabrera. You know, it's... You're not going to replace that.
And I think he tried very hard this year to lead and not, you know, with the blow-ups and all that stuff. I think he tried really hard.
I agree with you, Tom. There's been a big change in Jose Bautista this year. And I understand that, especially in this city, where we spend so much time talking about stuff like chemistry and leadership because the teams inevitably lose. And when a team loses, you can't always talk about the talent or the general manager or the head coach because after a while that gets repetitive. So you start talking about leadership and chemistry. All these things that you can't quantify, all these things that we can't possibly know because we're not there. And more to the point, we're not there at key moments. I mean, you can be in the Jays clubhouse from 3:30 to 4:10, whatever it is. You're not there at 6:55. And when I say you, I'm talking about the media. We're not there, and fans aren't there at 6:55. We're not there the second after the game is over. It's the same thing with the Leafs. We see them after their morning skate. We see them after practice. We see them after games. We are not in the dressing room 15 minutes before the game where somebody might need to say something. We're not in there 5 minutes after the game where somebody might need to say something. We just don't know. And especially in big markets, in big media markets. There is a real reluctance on the part of players to say what happened after the game. You go into a Leafs dressing room after the game where they've played poorly, you're going to have a hard time finding a player who's going to talk to you about what was said. And you probably, that should probably be the case. I mean, every reporter has a guy on the team that'll tell him what's going on. You guys had a team meeting. What was said? There are a lot of guys who will talk to you about that. Off the record, of course. But beyond that, we have no idea. We have no idea at all. I mean, we look at these guys and we get a sense of them. But we don't know what Jose Bautista's like in a crisis situation. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. I want the guy to perform in the field, and that's what Jose Bautista does. And on a team that has spent a lot of these past 2 weeks looking like it just doesn't care, looking like it's waved the white flag, I see Jose Bautista having games like he had last night. As said, I think a lot more of Jose Bautista now than I have at any point in his career. We'll be back with more of your calls. This is the Jeff Blair Show, and this is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club, The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Brian Adams, eh? Hmm. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Hey, your Leafs, they won yesterday. Last night. A 3-2 shootout win. Nothing says excitement like a shootout in the preseason. Chris Johnson, our NHL insider and Sportsnet, will join us at 10 bells. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the schedule Travis has printed up here. This is what it says. This is no disrespect to Travis. 10, Chris Johnson, NHL insider, Sportsnet. Nazem Kadri stars as the Leafs kick off their preseason with a 3-2 shutout win over the Flyers in London. 10:15, Leafs calls. Is this a make or break season for Nazem Kadri? I mean, this is the third annual make or break season for. I love it. I really do. I am so psyched up about this. And I'm sorry, just reading it. God, I love hockey. And really, the Leafs are the gift that keeps on giving. Yeah, we'll take your calls. Mark Bradley, a columnist with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, is going to join us. Frank Wren was fired as general manager after, what, 3 second-place finishes and 2 first-place finishes? And Greg Wyshynski, he's around town. Apparently, they did like a live Merrick versus Wyshynski podcast. And then he went to the Jays game, traitor. He didn't like it when Gibby called the video review up 14-3 in the eighth. I'll tell, you know what? Tell Wyshynski then he can go down and explain to Steve Tolleson why his manager cost him a hit. Anyhow, he'll join us. Oh, and a big, big treat, Baseball Central at noon. Cliff Floyd is scheduled to join us at noon in studio. Cliff Floyd and Joe Siddle, former teammates, I do believe. There'll be a whole lot of Expos love breaking out. I'll try to keep it under control. I'll try not to contribute to it. Rocky and Markham, you're in Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Rocky, why are so many people unwilling to say that Jose Bautista is an irreplaceable player?
Good morning, Jeff. Well, it's too bad that fans underappreciate Jose Bautista's performances because, like, to be honest with you, I think he's probably the best right fielder in the game. Well, with the exception of Giancarlo Stanton, he hits his offense is one of the best in the game. he has one of the best arms in the game. If you watch yesterday's game, he gunned down, I forgot which player, but yeah, Jose Bautista, no matter, as long as he's a Blue Jay, this team should be in a win-now mode, because whatever Jose Bautista asks for, what that he should receive, because, like, in this upcoming offseason, like, I expect the Blue Jays to make some upgrades, and on top of that, it's hard to say where this team stands, because we thought that this team was going to be this team was going to be a contender, but with the collapse and all, and with the streaky offense, it's too bad that they didn't get the chance to fight for the wild card during the stretch. But I believe that Jose Bautista, like, as long as he's around, I think his production will be there. And if he does ask for a trade, then I think it's going to be a substantial offer. But that's what I got.
Well, he doesn't need. You're talking about Bautista?
Yeah, like,
no, he's under contract for the next 2 years.
Right. I'm just saying, if he requests for a trade, like,
I see what you mean. Right.
Right. That's what I'm trying to say. But I just hope that he stays as long as he can, with the Blue Jays, and hopefully they can make some moves in the offseason. That's what I feel. But thanks for taking my call.
I appreciate the call. I think Alex Anthopoulos has opened the door to discussing a contract negotiation. Or a contract extension, I should say. For both Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion, which I'd be totally in favor of. Now, you do have them under control for 2 more years, but I would be totally in favor of talking about an extension. The danger for the Jays is you approach Jose Bautista about an extension, and he essentially says to you, look, I'm willing to stay here for another year, another 2 years under the terms of my contract, my current contract, but I don't know if I want to commit beyond that. Now, if you're the Blue Jays, you're looking at a situation where you know your player, your star player, may not be around after 2 years down the road. So there's an element of delicacy here. Billy and Markham, you're in Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Jeff, here we go with the opposite point of view. First of all, you come on the air and you tell me that this team is listless. This team is not playing. The only guy that's playing is this so-called leader of this team, Jose Bautista.
But I never said he was the leader.
Well, you talk about that he's shown leadership.
He's shown more leadership this year than he has in the past. But I don't necessarily think that means he's the captain of the team.
Yeah, because he's definitely not.
I think Mark Burley probably exercises more influence over the pitchers, frankly, than Jose Bautista does over the team.
Right. Jose, when I called Wilner earlier in the month, and Jose Bautista was around 23, 24 home runs, which was not a good year, 25 home runs, I don't know how many he had. I said to him, Mike, Jose Bautista is going to catch fire the last month of the year. You mark my words on that. And that's exactly what he's done. What has Jose Bautista done the three middle months of the year when we had a 6-game lead and then absolutely fell off the face of the earth? Where's the leadership there? Where are the big? The only clutch hitter on this team is Eddie E., not Jose Bautista. And Eddie E.'s been hurt all summer. Bautista, I call him solo home run Bautista. And here's another thing that I would like to.
How many RBIs does he have?
He's probably got over 100.
Yeah, so it's okay. All right,
I'll give you that. But Jeff, here's the one thing, and I'm pretty sure that other teams listen to your show when they come into town.
No, they don't.
Okay, they don't.
Actually, they do. I know. They're just getting in right now. Like, they're ball players. They've been out doing you know what.
Right. No, I know, Jeff. Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, the odd person will. And I remember saying to Mike Wilner, that nothing was mentioned on the air when the Boston Red Sox came into town, probably earlier in the year, when the Boston Red Sox were running a million signs with nobody on base. And I said to Warner, me and Wilner had an argument about that guy being up in the stands and whatever you want to believe. But the Boston Red Sox also had three coaches that are there. No longer with them. And I was shocked to see that from the beginning of the game on, which I remember Jake Peavy was pitching too, and Peavy hadn't beaten anybody. If any major league team is out there and you come in to play the Blue Jays, here's what I suggest to you. Run through all your signs with nobody on base. And I want to see how many home runs Jose Bautista has this year. Somebody is tipping this team from the
top. Oh, okay, Billy, yes, I'm sorry. Billy, the logistics of that. God. They're all wired up, right? They're all being tipped off. They've all got little remote control sensors in their ears. Jesus. Sean and Coburg, you're on Sportsnet 590, the Fan. Can I drag this thing up by its bootstraps, Sean, please? Because I'm about to reach for a razor blade here.
I'm the guy that hit the fastball a couple weeks back, Jeff, when you're talking about that second Leaf team. But anywho. Remember that, Jeff?
Yeah, I do. Go ahead, Sean.
Well, listen, JB, first off, I'm glad you said, I heard you say that about Milky this morning, because I tried to call him yesterday to say that. I don't think he's coming back either.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, I'm going to make this real short, Jeff. Jose Bautista is probably the best. He's got to be one of the best bangs for the buck in baseball. And, you know, it's not just all about his offense, his 35, 36 home runs, the runs he scores and all that other stuff. It's the baseball IQ. And, you know, you get these guys that's, you know what it is? It's just a negative town, Jeff. I mean, you got people calling in. They don't even know what they're talking about. Some guy going off about, you know, like he got thrown out once this year. And that was debatable, if you really want to look at it. You ask these guys a question, they don't know. You know, nobody's in the clubhouse. Who said he was the leader? And you know what? You never did say that, by the way.
Well, I did say that I said that he's showing a little more leadership this year on the field. Okay. I can't pretend to know what goes on in the clubhouse. I mean, I've talked to people, and you know what I get? I get people telling me, hey, there's really not a whole lot going on in this clubhouse. I mean, that may not be a good thing, but I get the sense from people that there's not a whole lot going on in there right now. And as someone told me yesterday, you know what this team is, Jeff? This is a team that's had one good month and has spent the rest of the time treading water. There are a lot of unhappy people in there. Makes sense to me.
One last comment, Jeff?
Yep.
There's not enough Jose Bautistas on this team, and I bet you any money. Did you hear the comments from Gibby the other day?
Mm-hmm.
The professionalism and this, that, and the other stuff he was going off about Baltimore?
Yep.
Ask him.
No,
Jeff.
Yeah, I agree with you, Sean. I appreciate the call, and I'll tell you what. I would be willing to bet that John Gibbons has come around 180 degrees on Jose Bautista, as well as the rest of us. Those of us who've come around 180 degrees on Tony Bautista, I bet you can include John Gibbons in that group. Matter of fact, I can almost guarantee you could include him in that group. So the Leafs are undefeated. A 3-2 win over the Philadelphia Flyers in a shootout in London last night. Nazem Kadri had a good game. Is this a make-or-break season for... I'm sorry, Travis. Is this a make-or-break season for Nazem Kadri? Nazem Kadri had a good game last night. The Leafs and Flyers will get back at it tonight at the Rogers Centre. That'd be interesting. At the Air Canada Centre, the Leafs can be expected to have more of their veterans in tow for this game. Chris Johnson's our NHL insider in Sportsnet. You can follow him on Twitter at Reporter Chris. He will join us. There's also a bit of a breaking story out of the Czech Republic, as reported by SI.com's Alan Muir, that in fact plans are now in place for a World Cup of hockey, which I think is just phenomenal. It's about time. We'll drop that in Chris and see what he has to say about it. And then we will take your Leafs calls, and we will ask you. We won't ask you if it's a make or break season for Nazem Kadri. Okay, Travis wants to ask you if it's a make or break season for Nazem Kadri. We'll go ahead and do that. This is the Jeff Blair Show, and this is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.